Proverbs chapter number 6. And we're going to read verse 16. We'll read verse 16 through verse 19. And here's what it says. These six things does the Lord hate. Yea, seven are an abomination unto him. A proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood. A heart that devises wicked imaginations, feet that are swift in running into mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among brethren. These are chapter 6, is as the first chapters, six chapters have been. This is a father sitting down with his son and saying, "Son, I've got some things I want you to know." So in reality, I'm going to put it this way. This is the Lord Jesus sitting down with you and me and saying, these are some things you need to know in life. Some things are going to really make a difference. Some things that will change you if you'll apply them. Some things that will make your life go from failure to success. And things that will live with you for eternity. God thinks different than you and I think. His actions are different than our actions. Here we were sinners, undone, hateful, mean, haters of God Himself. And yet He loved us. Came to this earth in the form of a man. Lived on this earth among sinners. Died a cruel death in payment for our sin. Then rose again from the dead so that you and I could be with Him forever. That is not what I would do for my enemy. That is not what you would do for your enemy. We would rejoice in the demise of our enemies. But He didn't. He loved us, though we were wholly and completely against Him. So when God looks at things, He looks at them from a different perspective than you and I do. That's what the whole book of Proverbs is about. Looking at life from God's perspective or God's point of view. And He's looking down and He's sitting down with me. He's saying, listen, there are just some things you have got to understand about life. And so here, He's telling us some important things. Six things the Lord hates. And seven are an abomination to Him. So we're going to look at these a little bit in detail here. We're going to pray in just a moment. But I learned some new things today, even in my preparation this evening, about some things that I want to give you. So Father, we ask that you bless now our study. Holy Spirit, meet with us. Teach us the things we need to know in our life to live a fuller life for you, and that your work would be done and completed. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I want you to notice, starting in verse 17, I want you to notice some words. I want you to notice the word look, L-O-O-K. And then I want you to notice the word tongue. So here are the eyes, there's the tongue. Then comes the word hands. And then in verse 18, the word heart. And then in the word verse 18, the word feet. And then in verse 19, witness. And then speaketh. And then soweth. All of these things involve our body. So it's really important then, the Lord, one of the things I noticed today as I was studying this evening, as I even came down preparing before folks arrived, is these are physical things. There are physical things that God says we need to control some physical things in our life. Because the physical things affect the spiritual things. And physical things control our actions. And that's a true statement. Physical things control our actions, which affect our heart, which affects our mind and how we think about things, and the directions that we go in life. So these are very real things that God is talking to you and I about. The Lord is sitting down with you and He says, verse 17, a proud look, that's the first thing. There are six things that the Lord hates. A proud look, He hates it. Remember, God's perfectly balanced. God loves, for God so loved the world. His love is perfect love. His love is pure love. His love is a love that never ends. His love, he loves because of no reason at all. Okay? His love really then is unconditional. And as much as he loves, because he's perfectly balanced, is as much as he hates. There are things God hates. I believe God hates sin. I believe God hates abominable things. I believe God hates wickedness, evil. I believe he hates the actions of the devil and the way people behave like him. I think those are things that God hates. He hates them so much that he hates them as much as he loves us. And that's why they'll never be in heaven. Because he hates them so fully and completely and utterly. He hates them so much they must be completely destroyed. Because sin and the devil will be completely destroyed in hell for eternity. In a lake which burneth with fire and brimstone. Because his perfect justice demands it. Because of his perfect love and his perfect hate. So God being perfectly balanced, there are things he hates. And thus there should be things that you and I hate. Because we're to be like him. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. So we ought to love our enemy, but hate sin. Hate evil. I want you to notice then, and as we look at the beginning of this, a proud look. All of these things that we're going to look at, these six things we're going to look at, including the seventh, are all things that are done towards other people. And thus they're evil. Evil is sin with the intent to hurt someone else. That's what the definition of evil is scripturally. So all these lead to evil because they hurt other people on purpose. So the first thing is a proud look. The word proud means to exalt thyself or to lift oneself up higher than those around you. To think yourself to be better than everybody else. I don't know if you ever listened to somebody talk. I know I have. I know my wife and I have talked about this when we've heard different people talk. At different speeches and so that they've given, whether they be political or religious speeches. When somebody lifts themselves up, you can tell that they're haughty, high-minded, proud. Proud doesn't mean to feel yourself to be having done something well. Proud means that you think you're better than everybody else. They're haughty, high-minded, the Bible calls them. They exalt themselves. The Bible says this, a proud look exalteth those eyes, and they'll not, they look down on the rest of mankind with disgust. And I've met some preachers that are that way, I've met some politicians that are that way, I've met Christians who are that way, and can I tell you, it's repugnant no matter who's doing it. Psalm 10 verse 4 says, the wicked, through the pride of his countenance, will not seek after God. God is not in all his thoughts. Who does that? The one who is full of pride. We don't need God when we're full of pride. We think we know better than he does. Why do we consent to sin? Because we think we know better than God does. You know what that is? Pride. And when we look at other people, we think we're better than they are. Listen, nobody's better than you, and nobody's worse than you. No one's better than me, and nobody's worse than me. We're all the same. We're all sinners. And we all deserve to go to the same place called hell. But God loves you and I in our sinful condition. For God so loved, but God commended his love towards us, and while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So while we were in our sinful condition, he gave himself for us, and no one's better than anybody else. Psalm 73 verse 6. Therefore pride compassed them about as a chain. Violence covereth them as a garment. That's what pride leads to. Pride leads to violence. Because we think we're better than everybody else. I'm going to give you a perfect political example. Are you ready? Hitler in World War II. He thought he was better, smarter, and superior to all others. And what did it lead to? Violence. It covered him as a garment. Why? Because they thought themselves not to need God and didn't seek after God. In fact, he made himself a God. Made his own religion. Psalm 73, verse 6, 7, and 8. Let me read them together. Therefore, pride comes them about as a chain. Violence covers them as a garment. Their eyes stand out with fatness. They have more than the heart could wish. They are corrupt. They seek wickedly. They speak wickedly concerning oppression. They speak lofty. That's what pride ends up to do. That's why God hates pride. He tells us right in His Word why He hates it. Psalm 101, verse 5. Whoso privately slandereth his neighbor, him will I cut off. He that hath a high look and a proud heart will I not suffer. God hates this amongst us as people. It doesn't come from you and me. It comes from Lucifer, who thought he was better than God, who wanted to be as God. And it's a trait of Satan. It's the very thing that God said, look, this is what Lucifer was all about. And he doesn't want you and I to be caught up in the same thing. Didn't need God, remember? We just saw that. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse number 5 says this, Likewise ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another and be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. That means humble doesn't mean to think of yourself badly. Humble means to fully and completely trust the Lord. Look at the second one. The second thing he has listed here in verse 17, a lying tongue. A lying tongue. There's six things that he hates. Seventh is an abomination. All right, the proud look, number one. Number two, a lying tongue. The one who uses untruth or deceit to get themselves somewhere. So you're going to lie about somebody else. You're going to lie to somebody else for the purpose of hurting someone else, but to uplift yourself. A lying tongue, or he that loves to lie or doesn't tell the truth. Proverbs 12:22, lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but he that deal truly are his delight. Psalm 120, verse number 2. Deliver my soul, O Lord, from lying lips and from a deceitful tongue. All of us have lied. It's a part of our nature. It's a part of our fallen nature. No one had to sit down and teach their children how to lie. I never sat down and taught my four children. Never sat down and said, okay, listen children, today I'm going to teach you how to lie. I've never done that. Didn't have to. They knew it from the very beginning. We all do. We all know. It's a part of us. It's a part of our fallen nature. Why? Because we are of our father, the devil, who is the master of lying and deceit and tricks. And we have fallen into that. It's what we learn from our very birth. So we must unlearn that. So it's very important what Psalm 120 says in verse number 2. Deliver my soul, O Lord, from lying lips and from a deceitful tongue. When we think about lying, because we're all guilty of it. Never, listen, we learned that pride's wrong just a few moments ago, didn't we? And now we learn lying lips is wrong. But when you find someone who's lied to you, or lied to me, or lies to others, though you don't like it any more than anybody else does, remember, you've done it too. You've done it too. You're just as guilty as they are. So don't go looking down your nose at them. Encourage them. Pray for them. Let them know, hey, we all messed up. We've all... So I can't believe... What? No. We're guilty. You're guilty. I'm guilty. We're guilty. No one is above lying. So, Revelation 21:8. But the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable and the whoremonger and the sorcerer and the idolater and all liars. All liars. Uh-oh, that's all of us, isn't it? Shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. I missed murderers in there too. It's in that verse. Just trying to give you to it off the top of my head there. Revelation 21:8, all liars. That's you and me. That's all of us. We're all guilty. So what do we need to do then when we know that? We need to realize that we need to stop that. Pride is a part of us because we learned that from the devil. Lying is a part of us, so we need to stop that. God, so he's sitting down with you and I, and he's saying, there's some things you need to know. Some things that are going to hurt you. Pride is a problem. when you think you're better than everybody else. Because all of us have told lies, so but a lying tongue, I hate it. So stop it. Overcome it. He doesn't want us to lie. He doesn't want us to use deceits and untruths. But don't think you're better than anybody else because you haven't lied lately. Because you're going to probably do it again in your lifetime. And so what do we need to do? We need to go to God to get the help that we need. Not so that we can be better than anybody else. But that we can overcome lying. All have fallen short of the glory. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Lying hurts other people. So he's telling you and me as a father to his child how important this is to him and to you and me. Lying. Number three. Hands that shed innocent blood. Hands that shed innocent blood. So we're looking with our eyes. And we're looking, now we're using our tongue. Now we're using our hands because we're looking at things that we shouldn't be looking at. What are we looking at? A proud look. Using our tongue to say things that aren't really true. And that brings us to hands that shed innocent blood. It's interesting that he talks about the shedding of blood here. Where innocent people get betrayed. Proverbs chapter 1 verse 11 says this. If they say, come, let us lay wait for blood. Let us lurk privily for innocent without a cause. That's the way man behaves. Do you know you can shed innocent blood without ever killing anybody? With our tongue? By lying about other people? Making up things that are not true? Assuming that which isn't accurate? Well, this must be what happened. Do you know for sure that's what happened? Do you know for a fact that's what's happened? And even if you do know for a fact, do we have the right to say what we've just said? Is that not gossip? Just because something's true doesn't give us the right to expose it. We can shed innocent people's blood without ever picking up a knife or a weapon simply by the use of our tongue. Deuteronomy 27:5 says, cursed be he that taketh reward to slay an innocent person, and all the people shall say amen. It's important that we do not attack an innocent person in any way, shape, or form. Recently, I witnessed something wrong, a crime, if you will. Wasn't quite a crime, was cut off before it was a crime. And the police were talking with me and they asked for a description of the person. And I gave them the best mental description I had at the moment. And then later on I saw a video of it taking place and my description was so far off, it was unbelievable. I could not believe how my description was so wrong. I had parts of it that were true. I'm an eyewitness here. I talked with the person face to face, and yet my mind wasn't as clear as the actual picture that was there of me talking to him face to face. And though I was there, the camera was not lying. And though I didn't tell a lie or go after somebody inappropriately, my mind didn't even understand the truth that was in front of me. And so oftentimes what we think may be true may not be true. So we must be careful then that we don't assume a truth that we know is true because we know it's true. I would have sworn on a stack of Bibles that everything I said was 100% accurate. Then I saw the picture. And I went, oh my goodness, how could I have been that far off? Now again, there was truth in there somewhere. Because when I described the shirt, I had the right colors, I just had them in the wrong places. I was correct about his nationality, but incorrect about his size. It's amazing. for what, because everything happens like this. And our inaccuracies are amazing sometimes. There may be a grain of truth in it. There may be a whole lot of truth in it. But you know, just because we think it's true doesn't always make it true. Again, like I said, I looked straight at this person. I conversed with this person. And how I described him is not an accurate description of what he looked like. And I was just amazed when I was able to get to a video and see what actually occurred and see him. Praise the Lord, the police were still there and they could get the accurate look rather than relying on my eyewitness testimony. So though you may have thought that you knew what was right, oftentimes we don't know the whole story. And though we might say we know the whole story, we don't. Because even when we're there witnessing things, there's still things we miss. Let me illustrate it this way. You ever watched the movie? Went back and watched the movie again and saw things you never saw before? And understood things you never understood before because you missed that portion. And you don't know how you missed that portion. You sat right there before. You saw everything that was there. It just didn't make sense to you at that moment for some reason. Or read a book. And went back and read that book again. And you went, oh, that's what that was talking about. It's funny how we think we know everything. And we're willing to, I'll tell you, I'll stake my life on it. But uh-oh, look out. You may not want to really do that. That's what the Lord's talking about here. I believe that earnestly. The shedding of innocent blood. Assuming we know something to be accurate and not. In fact, it goes on even further. I love this next part because it all plays together. The heart that deceiveth wicked imaginations. Wicked imaginations. A heart that fabricates things. That's the foundation that we build upon. And so our heart's that foundation that we're going to build upon. If our heart's building fabrications, then how can we build upon that which is inaccurate or untrue? So the only truth that I really know is the Word of God. That's the only truth I really know to be true. The heart is deceitfully wicked, the Bible says. And who can know it? That means my heart's wicked. Your heart's wicked. And even though we think we know our own heart, we really don't. So he's warning you and I as his children, and he's saying to you and I, listen, look out, be careful. Be really, really careful. Because our heart devises wicked imaginations. That's the nature we came from. And I hate that because of the inaccuracies that are there. That's what he's telling you and I. Genesis chapter 6 and verse number 5 says this. And God saw the wickedness of man, that it was great in the earth, and that every imagination and the thought of his heart was only evil continually. That's the Bible telling the truth about us. We think we know something. So we say something. Or we do something. And our heart gets all messed up because we're building on something that's not true. An inaccuracy. Though we think it may be true, we don't know it to be true. And then we can't tell the difference between a truth and a lie. Even in our own life. Why? Because we built our life upon some things that we shouldn't have built them on a proud look, on a lying tongue, on hands that shed innocent blood, on a heart that devises wicked imaginations. Psalm 36, verse 4 says this. He deviseth mischief upon his bed, and he sitteth himself in a way that is not good. He abhorreth not evil. Abhorreth means not melt away or refuse or reject. That's what the word abhorreth means. He doesn't refuse it or reject it. So let me illustrate this verse. This guy's laying in bed and he's thinking about this thing. And then there's our minds, because our minds are twisted. The Bible calls them perverted. Full of sin. Why? Because we are conceived in sin. And then that conception, we lived in it. And then we got saved. And we're babes in Christ. And now we're trying to grow. But we still have all these ill effects of the sin that we lived in. And the effects that are in this world, because this world is filled with sin. And we're surrounded with other people who are just like us, sinners. And He's saying to you and I as His children, listen, there's some things you really need to know. One of those things that you need to know is that we devise things in our heart that just aren't accurate and true. And we've got to be truthful with ourselves. Only way I can overcome something is to know that it's really there. To admit it. You can't help a drunkard stop being a drunkard until he says, I'm a drunkard. You can't help a drug addict until he says, I'm a drug addict. You can't help a sinner till they say, I am a sinner. You can't get saved till you realize that you are a sinner and convinced that because you're a sinner, you're going to have to go to hell regardless of whether you want to go there or not. And we can't get God's help to overcome our wicked imagination till we realize we do have one. So this guy's laying in bed. Psalm 36, verse 4. And as he's laying in bed, he's devising mischief. We do that. We think about things. We add things that are true to things that are not true. And before you know it, we're playing the if and then game. Well, if this, then this. And you know what? I'm going to do this and that and this. And things that never happen, happen up here in our minds that never happen out here anywhere else. Because in our minds, sometimes we lay in bed and we say to ourselves things that aren't true. And we set ourselves to that which is no good. And we keep away from that which is good because we set in our minds and devise us this wicked imagination. Everybody does it. That's why I brought up Genesis chapter 6 and verse 5. Because God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth and that every imagination of the thought of his heart was only evil continually. That wasn't because we wanted it to be that way. That's because of the way we are because of sin. Sin does that to mankind. That's why God hates sin. And God says, I hate the way we think. I hate the way that man has ended up to think. We devise us all this stuff. We come up with all these things. I just knew this was going to happen. Because we devised it in our mind before it ever happened with our hand. And you know, oftentimes we can push something to happen because we devised it up here. So we put ourselves on the wrong road. That's what Psalm 36 verse 4 is talking about. He devises mischief upon his bed. He set up himself in a way that is not good. In other words, we got this all set in our mind. So when we got up in that day, we started working our way to get it that way without realizing it. We pushed it to be that way. We made it that way because we wanted it that way. Because that's what we devised in our mind. So we made it to go that way on purpose. Amazing how God's Word is so accurate about us, isn't it?
Amen.
Boy, it really tells the truth about us. And he abhorred not evil. In other words, he refused and did not reject these thoughts that came to our mind. Because we knew it. I knew this to be true. And yet we were wrong, just like in the eyewitness account I just gave. When I talked to the police officers and we looked at the photograph and we looked at the... He said, can I tell you something? And I was just amazed and I was apologizing to them profusely. And they said, don't worry about it. If you had 10 different people here, you'd have 10 different descriptions. Because everybody sees things differently. And we all remember things differently. That's why we go around with photographs and say, is this the person right here? And even that way, we still make mistakes, they said. And we're learning that now in the laws and in the courts by people who are falsely accused of a crime. We're convicted because of eyewitness testimony. And then we find out through DNA it wasn't even them. They weren't even there. And it wasn't that people weren't purposely doing things. They believed that in their heart, that they were right. And yet they were wrong. So it's very important then that we give truth to God and not to ourselves. Because once we start to think that we're right, you know, that brings us to right back to the beginning. The pride. Pride, see. We're going to have to stop there tonight because we've already been long. But we've looked at some things that God hates. Why God hates them. How they affect us. How they're real. How they actually are involving our physical being that causes us to go the wrong direction. Wow, what an amazing God we have. And He cares about you and I so much that He sits down with us and says, listen, you've got to have this in your life. You've got to understand this. You've got to know this. You've got to look at life how I see it and how different it is. Father, thank You so much for what we've learned tonight.